Hello, everybody, and welcome to Throwlers. I'm joined, as always, with Chris Reynolds. How you doing, Chris?
Very well, Alan. Back in the studio. Look, there's just no avoiding the jank with us. Just discovered that I've been cut off by my mobile network, so we're having to do a Wi-Fi-esque type phone call here. And look, it just doesn't matter how much gear we buy, doesn't matter how legit we get, how many followers we get, there's going to be a layer of janky when you listen to Throwlers.
Yeah, 100%. There's still us using the equipment, so it's going to be a little shit. Apologies to everyone last week who listened, and we had a bunch of like blips, I believe. I didn't actually listen to it, but yeah, got a fair bit of feedback that it was sort of cut out for a second here and there. We sort of knew that was happening, I think, and just sort of pushed through because that's what we do. But I think it was cheap SD card in good quality gear. So now we've got a good quality SD card, and I believe everything should be fixed. So we shall see.
Let's jinx it.
Are you home yet, Chris? Are you back from your smoko?
Yeah, look, I'm back. I'm back from God's country. Drove back today. Just what a phenomenal couple of weeks. But spent, obviously, sorry we didn't get the potty out Wednesday night. I've been up in Bright with Hardy and Joel. Not actually in Bright, been in Freeburg, or you might know it as Freeburg. It's just one town down from Smoko. We're all familiar with Smoko because obviously we know that's where Daz hails from, but absolute God's country, just chilling in the river, sinking cans, cooking barbies, playing plates. Alan's familiar with plates, playing lots of plates. Yeah, just an absolute blast up there with the boys and all of our families.
Sounds very, very good. I went back to work this week, so little different than what your week's been like, but not too bad. I've had a very nice break with lots and lots of sleep, and I feel incredible. So it's actually not too bad being at work when you're feeling good. Towards the end of the year was rough, but yeah, I'm a new man. New year, new me.
Here we go.
That's it. We left off the last pod. We were talking about some of the players changing their disc manufacturers, and there was a couple of names still up in the air, but I believe we got some stuff on them now. Big Germ, which was a big shock to us leaving Innova, has landed at MVP. What do they call him? Big Gyro or something? Gyro Germ.
Yeah, Gyro Germ. What a stable they've built, huh? What a stable. A stable of nothing other than just like outrageously popular disc golfers. Simon Lizotte, Eagle McMahon, now add to the list Jeremy Colling. And obviously, you know, James Conrad has a cult following. That's a stable. They have built a stable, MVP.
Yeah, they said, do we want players that are going to win tournaments? Not really, but we want to get players that sell a shitload of discs. I might be doing Simon a bit of an injustice there. I think he's one of the winningest players of the last 5 years or something. But but he pops off for his two wins, and then you never hear from him for the whole rest of the year. But he sells a shitload of discs. So yeah, pretty cool, I guess. Very strange. Like, it's odd. It seemed out of nowhere, but good pickup by MVP, and probably good for Germ. I'm sure he's getting paid all right.
Absolutely. Did you see him throw barbs immediately?
Oh, nah. What happened?
He's like, his legit announcement post was like, just filling out my mid-range section of my bag. It's basically, I'm paraphrasing, I've never had good mid-ranges to choose from. It's so refreshing to have good mid-ranges to choose from.
There you go. Yeah, because no one wants to throw a rock. Doesn't make any sense. At least he's got a hex now. Hex is like a buzz, I'm pretty sure. So, nah, you got to get off that rock life. You full-time buzz yet, or are you still throwing a rock?
Nah, the buzz is creeping over. Yeah. The buzz is leaning over the rock for sure.
I like it. There you go. All you need to do is get one of your hands, and you'll never go back.
Yeah.
And we also saw Climo, bit of a weird one. I didn't get to listen to the interview he's done on Tour Life yet, so I don't know the full details, but it seems like he's made his own brand, sort of, because he's doing a collab with Discraft, and they're making his three discs for his brand. So it's it's not quite like he's joined Discraft. It's more like a Jordan brand thing, I think, where it's not quite Nike. Yeah, it's Jordan brand.
Yeah, subsidiary. Yeah, that makes a bit of sense. That's how I'm reading it as well. Look, let's see how it plays out. Great to get Climo's face back into the game. And yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out. But again, I'm pretty confident that Discraft might make a dollar off this for sure. And great to see Climo making a dollar as well.
Yeah, nah, definitely. All reports, discs seem to be pretty good, but they're probably just slight tweaks on three already good Discraft discs, I'd imagine. But we shall see. And then we've got Robinson, the other Robinson, has gone with Latitude 64, which is weird, I guess. I don't know. I didn't really see that coming. Didn't see them being too much of a player in the market, but they've now got two world champions on their roster.
Yeah, good get. And, you know, I think that'll play well to the European market, you know. So, like, the American market will, like, lean into the Jeremy Colling, the Simon Lazotz and whatnot. But I could see the European professionalism really buying into, like, this world champion piece.
Mm. Yeah, let's hope so. So, cool fit for him, I guess. I can't really think of who else is on there besides Tatar. So, we'll see where it goes. Teammates with Paddy Robinson now.
Big. I was going to say, don't leave Paddy hanging. Surely you're thinking of Paddy.
Yeah, for sure. But probably the biggest news is Cale Lavisca is with, can't even remember. Oh, he went to Discraft. Crazy. I just thought he would, like, what are they doing? Who's rushing out to buy a Cale Lavisca disc? Am I crazy here? Like, I know he's a nice guy. He designs courses. Maybe that's part of it. Like, I know he designs courses, so he'd be out there putting Discraft baskets in now instead of Prodigy ones. Maybe that's more part of his deal, but he pays four tournaments a year if he's lucky and maybe pops off for a nice 15th place at one of them. Odd.
Yeah. Yeah, nah, don't know. Is a nice guy, has a cool label, like logo, obviously, with his Airborne Disc Golf. But yeah, you know, maybe they've got a different approach to Prodigy. I listened to a little bit of Will Shoestreak talk about the fact that he was losing all these players and they quizzed him about, you know, are you going to be, you know, backfilling the stable? And he was just like, zero interest. They're not chasing pros at the moment. Doesn't really see the financial benefit of like giving pros all this money and discs. Like he doesn't, you know, for him, the money doesn't really check out. It was pretty interesting insight. He's like, we're way better off sponsoring like a bunch of like grassroots type players because, you know, they run leagues, they do pop-up shops every week, blah, blah, blah. We pay them nothing, but we actually get a return. So we're going to do more of that.
Mm. Yeah, sounds good. I did see they picked up two names I barely know and I have completely forgotten, but I'm pretty sure it's a married MPO and FBO couple that tour, and I think she does all right sometimes, but he's trash. I don't know. Just heading in a different direction, so we'll see how it all goes.
Word on the street from Latitude 64 is... We missed the writing on the wall. We missed the writing on the wall for the Isaac Robinson because you may recall several months ago, they actually had one of their biggest dogs kind of step away from the game and free up their salary cap.
Yeah, it didn't click.
It didn't click to me at the time,
but it's so obvious now.
Yeah.
It's so obvious now.
Hindsight's 20/20. Yeah,
exactly.
So for those playing along at home, obviously Dylan Thalben is taking a step back currently. I do smell a shark in the water though. I think he's hanging around, but look, he stepped away from Latitude 64, and then sure enough, Their coffers are chockers. They got some coin and they threw it at Isaac. So well done, Deal. Well done, Isaac.
There you go. Should have seen it coming. Did you happen to check out any of the Kingston City Classic footage that came out on Parked this week, or were you just too busy having fun with friends?
No, I have not had a chance.
Very good, as always. If you love Dazza, maybe give round one a miss and just head straight to round two. But if you love giving Dazza shit, have a good watch of round one. It's rough. I've never seen the man miss so many putts in my entire life. It was brutal. But, yeah, good footage as always. Some very quality commentary. I had, some very good zingers in there from both the boys. Had me chuckling along very nicely. So, well worth a watch. And I saw, I think, what was Aussie Open footage was getting commentary done. So, good things coming. But definitely check out KCC. It's good.
Can confirm that David Perry has also not watched coverage. obviously, you whipped up the B1, B2, obviously in some reference to something I said on commentary, and I sent it on socials as I do, tagged him as I do, and got sent many a question marks from David Perry himself saying, what is going on here?
Well,
and I'm like, to be honest, bro, I don't know either, but it's something to do with Park Media.
It's very potential that I'm the only one who had any thoughts of that. It could be very possible that everyone who saw it was like, what the fuck are you talking about? But bit of spoilers for an event that's already happened, but it ends up coming really down to Dave Perry and Aiden Howard, and they are both two well-endowed boys in the bum department. So that might have come up that we were talking about Battle of the Bums or something like that, and I think Jace or Maddie might have been like, here's B1. And that was the only time they weren't like a B1 or B2, but he said something about B1 for Dave. And immediately, Bananas and Pajamas jumped into my head, and I just thought, oh, we'll put that together real quick, but it may have washed way over everyone's head, very, very potentially. probably won't win Meme of the Year. I had a very, very nice thing come across my desk on the weekend that intrigues me greatly and could potentially intrigue you depending on how your rating's sitting at the moment. But Chris Hart, who plays in MP40, who's dabbled in MA1, came up with a brilliant idea. One of the best ideas I've ever heard in disc golf, I think, and it needs to be put out there. It's called MP1, and MP1 is a new division that we're going to create somehow. I'm going to figure it out, where it is basically MA1, but you play for cash. We'll have a ratings cap in it of, I think 950 is fair. I think once you start getting over 950, at least in Australia, you should be playing MPO for sure.
Yep.
I'll mess around with some 940s, but you start getting in the 950s, then get the fuck out of my division. So under 950, yep, if you want to play for cash and just don't happen to be 40 yet, MP1, that is your destination. What do you think?
I love it. I need this division.
Right?
Yeah. I've only got 12 months left in it, but
well, you can just play
that'd
after
be 12 40. Months of fun.
Yeah. I've been meaning to do some research to find out how that is possible. I'm not sure, but surely there's got to be some semi-pro, or I don't know, even could just be pro. Yeah, I don't know. I think it sounds great to me because I don't want to play MPO and just get destroyed by everyone. But I wouldn't mind playing for something other than a store voucher for once. I won't win it, but I wouldn't mind playing for it.
There's a way we can do this. There is a way we can do this pretty jankily, pretty quickly, though.
Yeah, what are your thoughts?
We just absolutely send it with Throwlers 2.0.
Mm-hmm.
And we just put a rating cap on the event. And we offer it as MPO. but we just put a 950 rating cap on the event. So if you're rated higher than 950, you're actually not even welcome at our event. So bad luck. And the rest of us will be kicking an MPO playing for cash.
I like that. I get around that for sure. We might have to do something like that. Throw us 2.0 this year. No proper pros allowed.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. That's good by you. I did see some devastating news on our socials, though, about your quest to get your little man the 300,000th PDGA number. What happened?
Correct. Shenanigans. Shenanigans happened. Absolutely shenanigans happened. So, first of all, Kalen, I've thanked him greatly, and I'll thank him again on the airways, but shit went haywire, and his algorithm, it started to fall down. And so I had it closing on the 19th. We're being tracking this. Eventually, originally we had it was it's going to go on the 21st of Jan, and then numbers started speeding up, and the algorithm was following, and it's right, this is going to drop on the 19th. Anyway, I ended up dropping today. I'm driving home from Bright, so not in a great setup. You need a multiple device setup to land this, right? But as I'm driving home, bloody PDGA themselves, I don't know if you've even seen this, Alan, drop a little advert. Hey guys, this is when they were 140 away. As you can see, we're pretty close to 300,000. Just to help us get over the line here, 30% off to the next 300 members.
Oh, get fucked. You didn't need that competition.
I did not need that competition. So then Daz sends me that ad and I just shit balls. So I'm like, oh, well, we're fucked here. So immediately, I'm only on my phone now and I'm screwed. I refresh. It hits 299,975, 25 away. Now, Kaylin and I chatted about this. What we anticipated was a real stalemate at about that period, because everyone now is just standing by the mouse, rapidly hitting refresh, but not pulling the trigger because everyone wants to hit the 300,000. So I'm like, I'm going to join in on that race, hit refresh, right? So I'd only just hit refresh seconds earlier, hit refresh, 300,078, bang.
Wow.
And so I didn't even send it. I'd already pre-filled everything with Theo's details and was ready to send it. I would have just had to have changed tabs on my mobile phone, but I didn't even hit send. I just missed it by a boat. And I've got it open now in front of me, 300,234. They've sold over 400 memberships today.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
What's the new goal then? You're going to try to hit 500? The new goal, or 305 00, what would it be up to?
Yeah, I reckon I could do, I think even 301,000 would be fun and probably gettable.
Yeah.
And just maybe wait for a 000 or 302,000 or 303,000.
Gotcha.
Because I can't wait for 350, because for all I know, PDGA the same shit again.
Yeah.
And be like, here, have 30% off 300 people. Jesus Christ.
Oh, no good. Disappointing. Very disappointing. That's hectic how insane that got. The 400 new members right there. Jesus.
And I can't leave this out. Kaylin. So after all of that, this is pretty funny. After all of that, I then get home. It's been an hour later or whatever. Kaylin messages me, hey, dude. In the next couple of hours, 300,000 will probably drop. I was like, bro, it dropped about 45 minutes ago.
Cheers, Sandra Sully.
He's like, I was like, thanks for your help, mate.
I'll have a look. Oh, that's gold.
Yeah.
All right, well, sad news for you. But even more sad news is you missed out on the 2025 Golden City Classic, supported by Innova and powered by Guff. Got to make sure you got that powered by Guff in there. Those wouldn't go ahead. We talked about it on the last pod. in Ballarat, we got the first round at Vic Park and then the second round in Mount Xavier. What a tale of 2 days. Gorgeous day in Vic Park. Barely a breath of wind, nice and sunny, not too hot. And then we had long lightning delays in Xavier with like several rain showers. Not ideal. But still, fun event. The courses were looking great. A couple tweaks to Xavier, some tweaks to Vic Park as well. Those three ones that changed for the Vic Open now have permanent baskets there, which is sick. And they're great holes. And then one other change they made, apparently the council was around it, talking about stuff that might want to happen while they're doing these baskets. And Recircuit spied what could be a really cool hole 18, playing from near the gazebo that's off between the walking path between hole 2 basket and hole 3 tee pad. So on the left, there's that gazebo.
Yep.
So even more left of that was a new tee, or not a new tee pad, but a temporary tee pad. And he got the council to trim out some trees and pull out some reeds. And you now have a nice water carry directly to the normal basket, the blue basket of, I believe, hole 15. Is it? 16, maybe. Yeah, hole 16.
16.
Which not too sad to not play that hole, because that hole's hard as shit. It was cool. It was a very similar shot, if you wanted to go dead straight, to what normal hole 2 is, but now it's completely over the water and very touchy green, easy to go long into that giant tree, and maybe a little bit shorter than what hole 2 is, but a lot of straight shots. Highs are in real early, a fair few spike highs from mostly the MPO guys, which was a good play because it came in and sort of hit the ground and sticks. But yeah, a lot of it was just sort of straight at it with whatever you could kind of get 80 meters as straight as you could. And yeah, a lot of people sort of shot into the bushes. So fun hole, but twos were to be had. Twos were to be had. I might have snuck one. But yeah, really cool hole. So yeah, Hopefully we see a bit more of that. On to the results. Well, I'll talk about, before we get to that, the Xavier had some changes too, so I gave you some updates. But hole one is now playing off like the normal golf hole one. And that is, when you go to the club rooms, just keep going straight. So it's the opposite side of where the normal hole one has been. And you play down the fairway that is like parallel to what is normally hole three's fairway. And you're playing up to that basket on the hill. So cool kind of turnovery shot. Gets you a good bit of distance. And then you got to try to punch through some not really gaps. And hopefully get up to the basket. But more likely kind of hit one of those trees and get an up shot to take you par. So birdie very, very hard. And bogey and more very, very doable. So pretty cool hole, that one was a bit of fun. Nice to just open up on something semi-risk-free in for the first hole. And then so hole two then played on what was that normal hole three fairway. You sort of go down it a little bit and you're playing up to what was normally hole one's basket. So fair, like a really good forehand will get you similar distance to maybe further. Closer to the basket than where normal hole one's tee pad is. I tried a silly roller. That was a mistake, but you could do turnovers. But yeah, forehands to play, and then you got a tricky upshot onto that same green. So cool changes, I think. I wasn't really against hole one, but it was a bit blah. And then hole two was a bit too easy. So I don't think they'll be on the permanent course because hole one on this tournament layout interferes with the golf fairway too much. But yeah, you'll probably see it at more tourneys, and I think it was great. Other than that, all the other holes were the same. Had a lot of new tee pads in, which was fantastic. Still some to be done. But yeah, really cool. They're getting shit done down there.
That's sick. Tell me, when they played the hole two as a par four, like to the hole one's basket, did they still have the sand scrape as a bunker?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, definitely still had all that. So all that was still in play, and it sort of just brought in more trees and more stuff. I had a, like I said, a stupid roller and then a pitch out and then just stuffed my, like got my distance wrong on the upshot, because it is sort of weird once you end up, you know, I was buzz distance away, but it was a bit harder buzz than what I threw. So, good design. A lot of people should have taken pars on it. Definitely, like I shouldn't have bogeyed it, but, and the birdie's probably easier, I would say, for the, like a decent thrower than hole one normally would be. Because you do have a good chance to sort of beat that tee pad position, but it does take a really good shot. So, good fun. I liked it.
Yeah, awesome.
We'll check out some of the results in FA4. It was a close battle between Marta Lis-Walsh and Megan Joy, but Marta got the win by a couple strokes. So, well done there. And in MA4, it was not a close battle. Granger, oh no, never mind. He did not finish. That's why it wasn't a close battle. Daniel Murphy looks like he gets the W with a consistent 71 at both courses. So getting it done over Ash Brookers, who, like me, had one eye on the Baltimore Ravens playoff game. So. Luckily, his MA4 status got him to finish a little early and he could watch it. But I was watching sporadically throughout my round and keeping track of scores. So, but we got the big W, so that's all that matters. And, well done to Ash for what should be second place. I don't know why the DNFs aren't coming up. That's strange.
Yeah, it is strange. I'm looking at the same thing you're looking at. Great. Ash confirmed with us that as suspected, he did lose his job and his missus. And as such, we might see more than the four events from him this year. I'm pretty sure that's what his message said, didn't it?
Yeah. That's what I read too, yeah. It didn't say anything different. He definitely did that.
Yeah. Yeah. So welcome back, Ash. Sorry for your losses, but glad to have you back on the disc golf seat.
All right. Now we just got to get Picanti back and then we're in.
True.
How's MA3 looking?
MA3, look, this was a parked battle for the taking. And look, my tip, Riley Sanders, he performed pretty well, and he was looking to shake it up between Ash Widener and Kyle Herbertson, but they were out of the blocks early at Vic Park, and I can't go through this episode and not shout out Ash Widener for the birdie on what played as hole five at Vic Park, which is the long version of hole seven. That's just a sick birdie. Like, that basket is so protected and so far away. Let him know personally that that was a sick birdie. And he told me it was an 8-meter putt. So he got to circle one on that long hole seven and can the putt and finish with a plus one, 918 disc golf. Tied with his partner in crime, Kyle Herbertson. So, parked, looking to take it down. Riley managed to catch up to Kyle. Catch up to Kyle. That rhymed. At Mount Xavier with a huge minus one. Minus one was taking strokes off folks.
Massive.
At Mount Xavier, which is not the way we thought. Not the way we thought it would go for Riley. Big arm Riley. Yeah. But, anyway, wasn't enough to catch Ash, who, got it done. Congratulations, Ash, on a big MA3 victory. Well done.
Yeah, fantastic scores. Like, those three are miles ahead of the rest of the field and all playing way above their rating. All three of them kicked my ass. Very, very good shit. In MA2, he's back. Is this back-to-back wins for Tommy Jankow?
I think so. I think it could be.
Big. So, 5-stroke victory for Tommy Jankow over Sebastian Gutierrez and Daniel Frawley, both tied there in second. Those names regularly rising to the top of MA2 at the moment. So definitely one to watch. Very good battles between those guys. But Tommy is just seeming to outclass him. And same deal, the big round at Xavier, which Tommy's got a massive arm on him. So would have thought that the Vic Park would have helped him more there than the rest. But yeah, sick tourney there for Tommy Jenker.
Before we fly out of MA2, shout out to Wayne Govan, who's batting well above his average here in MA2, and he's going to have a proper swing at it this year by the looks of things. He did not get out of the blocks very cleanly round one at Vic Park, shooting a plus 15, not what he was looking for. So he set his target on not coming dead last. Look, we can't all meet our goals. And unfortunately, Waino has not met his goal here. But he had Lewis covered. I was watching following live scores, and I think at one stage he might have even had him by a couple of strokes. He did put in a much cleaner round at Mount Xavier. Well done, Wayne. But and yeah, keep it going. Maybe you'll get him next time.
Nice.
MA50, we called this... obviously, a few big names were in the water, but Carey decided to shark one. It's been a little while. I was starting to wonder, is the field finally catching up to Carey? But he sort of let the field know there that, no, you guys are not really catching me at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
In MA40, Taron kicks off his year with a nice big win, two strokes over Snapper Scott. A few more back there is Jay Ross and Lee Baker. But big win there for Taz. Very nice final round in Xavier. Just made it too good. Oh, not two strokes over Chris Snapper Scott. He was also DNF. Sorry about that. So Jay Ross and Lee Baker yes. were tied second, and Taz had them all covered by five strokes. So not close. I'll give a shout out to Ryan Nicholson. I actually brought the pod equipment to Vic Park and had a chat with a few different people. I didn't end up putting any of this together just because I was we're having the same memory card issues and I just thought, stuff it. But one thing would have been great was as I'm rolling up, I get out of my car and I hear chains. Normal hole three is where we started, hole one. And I see excitement, bang, everyone's back there. Didn't quite look like they're at the tee pad, though, so that was a little odd. Anyway, I grab the gear, I come run over, they finish putting out, and I grab a little interview with Ryan as he's walking between holes, and turns out he hit first available right off the tee, his first tee shot of the tournament, and then threw it in from about 10 meters past the tee pad for the birdie.
Sick.
Yeah, sick. So I thought that was pretty cool.
That's so...
yeah.
That is cool. That is very cool. FA1, Claire Burton gets done. Took a shot off Alice at Vic Park, but then Alice did not have a great one at Xavier, and Claire got to run away with it a little bit and got also a five-shot victory over Georgia in the end.
Very nice. So MA1 was a pretty good battle. We had Pen Lu with a very hot score round one, and Neg 6 was doing plenty. Would have had him well placed in MPO, and only a little bit behind that was Camille. Cam Abratansky has taken some lessons from Dan Frost, and he's looking good. So he was well under. We also had, who else was up there? Chris Scott was up on lead card, and
Henry Arnold shot minus five. Oh, yes,
that's it. And Henry Arnold, who was, one stroke off the lead. I played with him. He is by far better than any one of us in MA1. By far. It's not even close. He's so smooth and throws so far. He's a really good putter. He did have a couple three-putt holes. How those kids putt quick. I don't know. He didn't really do any of that kid mistakes that he was doing. He was looking phenomenal. And I was very, very impressed and scared. But I'll probably only have to play him a couple more times and then he'll go to MPO, so he'll be your problem. But yeah, so that was the thing going into that, into Xavier, and then the rest of us were pretty far behind. I couldn't throw straight. That was my problem. But if you're giving Ash Whedon a shout-out for birdie in hole 7, then chuck one Al's way as well, because I got it. Big forehand guy?
Yes.
Not quite. I threw the trail. Just threw the trail down the guts, put it on a little bit of Annie. Would have gone way long, but hit, there's a tree, like, circle's edge behind the basket. Hits that, bounces about 8 meters, and I hit my putt as well. So, let's go.
We're talking about different. You're talking about different holes.
Oh, okay. What's Ash's?
You got 7. He got normal 7. Hole 5.
Oh. Yeah. That's heaps better. Yeah. That's so much better. Gotcha. The par 4.
Yeah. No.
Oh wait. What are we confused?
Nah. The long normal hole 7. The long version of that. Normal hole 7.
Yeah, normal. So once you've played the, Sorry.
Dog leg.
Yeah. I'm thinking 9. Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah.
You got 9. Yeah.
Yeah. Nah, my bad. Sorry, listeners. But anyway, yep. We're going into Xavier, and Chris Scott just started shitting the bed. That was crazy. Don't really understand what happened with that. I drove there and back with him, and he doesn't know what happened there. So we'll let that one slip. About 1 million points below his rating. No idea what happened, but he quickly dropped out of contention, and it was Penn and Cam and Henry all the way. None of us were really making too much ground up, and then Henry's still 13, mind you. He's 13 and he's by far better than the rest of us, but I think he took a bad number on a hole and then maybe a par and then like double, just started full bed shitting. By the time I saw him in the end, he was done with this golf and just wanted to go back to South Australia. So he dropped off a fair bit, and Penn and Cam were tied going into the must birdie hole 18. They both put in fine drives, and then Cam just juiced the shit out of his upshot, and Penn put it under the basket, so... Penn takes down another big win in a pretty good field there. So, well done, Penn. Cam in second, and after all the bed shitting, I'm so, so mad, because I was actually playing okay, and then I end up taking a triple bogey on hole 17. If I had to manage just the par of that, then Al would have been there on the podium, but it didn't quite work out that way. Just some bad forehands. But anyway, Benedicto Byrne, who was devastated with this tournament, somehow still ends up in third.
Yeah.
MP40, what are we looking at?
What are we looking at here? We're looking at Mr. 970 disc golf for himself now, I'm pretty sure. I think in the rating update, what did he jump up to? 971, up 9 points. So Mr. 971, Ruben Berg. Look, I told the listeners that he was prepped and ready after jumping off the pier at Phillip Island. And I warned the listeners that there's no better preparation than pier jumping than for a disc golf tournament. And so the writing was on the wall, and Jesus, just mind the gap. Mind the gap.
Jesus.
What an event. Rated 982 minus 10. Would have fared very, very well in the MPO field. Well done. Rounding out the podium was Chris Scott on plus 3, a mere 13 shots back, and Al Don on plus 4, a mere 14 shots back.
Oh, boy. Yeah, big. Imagine getting rolled by 13 strokes and still coming home with a good couple $100.
Yeah, true.
Jeez, not bad there, but damn, Ruben, when he's on, that man is on.
Yeah.
MPO, it was not very dramatic, I must say. Dave Perry was a couple strokes ahead. A little slow start, and then ended up being a couple strokes ahead. there in the end of Ville after round one, and then couple back between Ryan Hart, Ryan Deere sort of thing. And he just widened the gap pretty significantly in Mount Xavier. So very keen to see the footage of how that shakes out. But he did good things and the rest of them sort of didn't. Ryan Michelle with a big charge to get himself up into fourth, but it ended up being a 9-stroke victory for Dave Perry. And I'm pretty sure, yep, he did. He hit exactly 10-10, his rating. So big for Dave. Ville managed to sneak out second place, though. It was very topsy-turvy there between Ville and Deiros and Michelle and Hart. So Ville having a very good start to the year. So he might trick me into picking him in fucking Street League again. But we'll see. And Deiros there in third. So good showing by the local Melbourne boys, which is very good. Very good to see.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome to see. Yeah, David Perry, also rating update. He now is set a new Australian record for highest rated Australian disc golfer. He went from 10-10 to 10-11. So awesome. Awesome that, yeah, the best disc golfer in the country is going from strength to strength and then wiping the field.
Big. I can't believe it. Yep. I missed the ratings update. That's crazy. So I'll have a quick look at some of the notable names here. I'm looking at Penn Liu, and he's up 2. He is now in the 930s. He's a 931 guy. Taran's been playing really good lately. What's he done? He's jumped 3. He is almost back into the 900s, 898. So just a matter of time if he keeps racking up wins in that. Al took a nice little jump too. This Summer Cup's been good to me. So I lost 4 last month and I'm back up 4. So 9-2-3 again, which is happy days for me. Does any stand out to you?
I hadn't had much of a look, and I'm just realizing now that I had Summer Cup Melton loaded up, but it has disappeared. But as I've just filled that airspace, I've got it back up. I haven't changed. I haven't changed for months. Cam Ford down to the 890s. Looking forward to, yeah, seeing how you got Penn Liu at 931 taking Oscar Felberg at 933 at Melton tomorrow. So that's a ring-a-ding-ding in MA1. Yeah, none others jumping out at me.
Nice big jump for Juan. He's gone up 6, so he's 889, which is pretty nice. Yeah. Oh, Tommy, we better check on Tommy Janka. He's been balling a bit lately too. So, he's not done shit, so never mind. That's it. And the weenus, surely Ash has done some things. Whole big time. Yes. Ash plus 13, 879. He's slowly getting his shit together.
Yes, he is. Ryan Deere up 6, 965.
Kyle Herbertson up 6 to 881. A lot of ups here. I'm not seeing many downs.
Yep, the ceiling is lifting in this country. I found a down for you, though. Aiden Howard, oh, this is great. Aiden Howard down 3 to 965. So now we've got the boys are tied. Ryan so Deere and Aiden Howard are tied. Let me find some Leo Dykes action here. This could be an absolute ring-a-ding-ding if all four of them hit it. No, bad luck, Leo. Leo's on 960, but all three of them in the 960 club. With two of them tied on 965.
Nice. That's sick.
Yeah.
Jay Sweetener up 8. And this could be an all-time not light. This is the biggest drop I've ever seen. What do you think is the biggest drop you've ever seen?
11.
So this is 28.
Who are we talking about?
Commentator extraordinaire, Matty Farina, big Matty Faz, has dropped 28 ratings points down to 840. And I believe he might be eclipsed by... Oh, no, he's not. Never mind. huge. That's I've never seen... Huge. I've never seen a drop like that. That's got to be a record.
Yeah, that's...
Well, we don't like seeing that, Matty. It's not funny. I don't enjoy it.
Nah, we don't, but I'll make a meme about it later.
But no, really cool tournament. The lightning delay sucked, but Three Horn supplied a bunch of mead, and Reese did a cool TD thing and set up a little game so that we could win some mead while we were waiting, which was really nice. I was in a pretty good pole position for it for a little bit, but Juan came in and absolutely snaked the shit out of it. Seb did, sorry. Sebastian Gutierrez came in and snaked the shit out of it. So he got himself a nice bottle of mead, which was pretty dope. Yeah, cool. And yeah, great event. Always good events in Ballarat. So well done to the whole crew and TD Reese.
Yeah, nice.
The Tour Down Under has kicked off, and just enormous names. Like, it's stacked. And I only watched the first round commentary of the first event so far, or the footage. And apparently, like, Nate Perkins is just like, I've just been telling everyone, like, it's the best. Come. So I think it's going to get more and more and more popular as it goes on, and which is sick. But pretty thick MPO field, and Robert Burridge ends up taking out the win, which was pretty cool. Must have won it in a playoff with Ezra Robinson. So I've only seen round one, but they finished tied, and Ezra gets the two. So Eli Swanson, who I'm not familiar with, is there, and then a host of other pros in there with Levi Stout in the mix in seventh, which is pretty cool to see. And the name I'm most excited about, which most people will not know, but in 11th place, Jack Maffey, he came to Tassie for Nationals, and I played with him. He was hilarious. He's a legend. Big. I got plenty of time for Jack Maffey, so I'm very excited to see his name in MPO for one, and doing all right. So, sick. Keen for that.
Ezra came out of nowhere there to get into the playoff. And made up six strokes on Burridge in that third round. I have not watched anything, but have been following a bit of live scores. And there's an event, they're playing an event right now, which Alex Canaston is playing as well. So we should check in on that. But Ezra was like, Luke Humphreys actually got out of the gate round one and took the lead. Ezra just climbed and climbed and climbed. Found himself in a playoff, but Burridge got to hold on. And he is obviously the lesser half to my mate, Emily Weatherman, who is over there and took second place in FPO to Sophia Dinecki, who got it done. And a really tight podium with Juliana Korva just one back of that, two shots separating the podium for the first event. So, yeah, absolutely awesome series. Great that there's so many pros there. And if it keeps on growing, that is elite. Should we check in on the Taupo Classic?
Before we do, I've got to shout out one thing. This could definitely easily be a not light as well. But like I said, I've only watched round one. And the front nine of round one for Aaron Gossage was brutal. It was wild. So he had something I've never quite seen before either. He got to like hole three or four or something and took a triple bogey, then got a turkey. So birdied the next three and then took a triple bogey the very next hole. It was fucked.
Well.
Yeah, the old triple bogey turkey sandwich was cooked. The course was beautiful though. So it was on a golf course. It was windy as shit. Apparently if it wasn't windy as shit, they would have slaughtered it. But it was so hard because of the wind and the out of bounds, but it was just gorgeous. And a huge volcano backdrop in the background. Apparently, all the pros were going to go out and do a hike of it on the Monday. And sick. Really cool. Really, really jealous. But yeah, we'll have round one's underway at the Taupo Classic in Taupo in New Zealand. And how's that looking?
Yeah, so Ezra out of the gates with a 1060 rate around minus eight, really solid, closely followed by Aiden Scott and Eli Swanson sitting on minus sevens with 1050 golf themselves. Scroll a little further, you'll find Jeremy Colling with his obviously brand new gyro discs, managed a 1030 minus four. So he'll be on Chase Card with Levi Stout, obviously our mate from New Zealand. You'll find Robert Burridge in there, acing hole 11. So tournament ace to wipe out his three bogeys that he had leading into that hole. And you will find Alex Canaston down with another Kiwi mate of ours, Jackson Sullivan, on plus two. So a 984 round one for Alex. Nothing too stinky there, but I'm sure he was looking for better. He got KJ covered. He's got Luke Humphreys covered. And he's got your mate.
Leave Jack alone. Jack, right? We're just going to leave that one. Could have left that on a good note.
Got Jack Maffey covered too. But look, obviously we'll be following Alex this weekend, and next week we'll be able to check in with how he fares. I wonder if he's playing many events while he's over there.
Mm. Yeah, that'd be cool. I'm sure he might be over for a couple. And Dylan Feldman's been there. You alluded that you might see some like something coming up for him. He's been there and he's been playing, yeah. So I don't know what he's doing. But if he's out there throwing, may as well get signed up there, big dog. Just unretire. We'll let it slide.
And if he's playing this track, he's put up two minus eights in a row, mm-hmm. which is what Ezra just shot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What is going on?
The man can throw. Even with half a whatever he's got, half a shoulder or something, he can still throw.
Yeah.
Yeah, Alex will be at the New Zealand Disc Golf Open as well next week. So a couple events for us to check out for him. So that'll be cool. But yeah, some and more names, as you mentioned, joined on with KJ and Jeremy Colling and Paul Oman. So it's elite. It's really, really cool.
Yeah.
All right. Before we move on, we've got the Cataraction in New South Wales happening this weekend. So I didn't have another run sheet. Sorry about that. But some big names. Reese Wiz is the TD. And he's got Reese Wiz Disc Golf now, which is like a thing apparently. And he has done some work recruiting, from what I can tell. So apparently he's reached out to like a lot of the pros. I don't know if you got a message, but over the journey he reached out to a lot of the pros and was like, hey, what can I do to help get you down here? Like, how can we facilitate this? Like, do you need to look for accommodation? Like, how can I make this work? So and he's done a good job. He's got 19 pros showing up to a two round event out of Sydney, and 19 good ones. Dave Perry leads the charge there, but Jade Brady, Chris Hill, Dan Frost, plenty of big names. So pretty cool. Did you get a message?
I did. I actually did. So what that tells me is that he messaged anyone with MPO against their name, because if he's willing to message me, he must be willing to message every MPO player in the country. But he dropped me a couple of messages. I've had the pleasure, as you can see, Reese is a 930 rated disc golfer. That might lend you to understand that we've played a few rounds together, and he's a legend. I've seen footage of the track. I've heard nothing but good things. And I'm looking forward to seeing how this unfolds. And there's a fat purse. There's an absolute fat purse. And so some of his own added cash, I'm probably led to believe, maybe it's coming straight out of Reese Wiz Disc or something like that. But it'll be awesome to see how David Perry goes against some of these other big dogs.
Mm. Long. Real long, barely a hole under 100 meters. So, we'll be cool to see how these scores are going. And it's all going to get filmed by Parks too, so we'll be able to get to see it in action. But it looks look like a less wooded Inverley type setup, right?
Yeah. Some old gums, some lush fields. But yeah, that's how I looked at it. There's like some trees to navigate for sure. Maybe not as many as Inverley, but there's a tree or two out there for sure.
I do actually have a little bit of audio here from the TD himself, Reese Wiz. So let's have a listen to him describing the tournament.
Hey guys, Reese Wiz here from WizDisc, TD in the upcoming Cataraction 25 presented by Tyre Power Gladesville. Just a bit of info quickly about the tournament layout. We've got a 2,750-meter par 63, which means it's roughly half par 3s and half par 4s. My estimate for the rating will be somewhere around 950 to 960 for par in good conditions. We're playing in a terrain that I would say is a middle ground of Inverley, not as open as the front nine, but not as wooded as the last five, and with maybe a bit more elevation changes. Every hole has the potential to be birdied, but it does mean executing the right shot or landing in the correct landing zone. It also has the potential to be bogeyed, as there are quite a few first availables. There are 6 holes that have OB where undercommitted drives are likely to land. There are also 2 island par 4 holes with decision making to go for the island for birdie or lane up for par. The gaps get harder and tighter as the round goes on. The player likely to win won't need to throw a high volume of discs. It's more about using your trusted discs and shaping them to match the fairway. They will also be able to make putts to secure the birdies or scramble for par when out of position. The weather keeps changing each day leading up to it, but I would imagine it will be a bit windy with rain off and on, and we're at 300 metres of elevation. We're also only using 50% of the land provided, so can easily host 2 layouts going on at the same time for a larger tournament. It also has facilities such as showers, cabins and barbecues available. MPO Pro Purse is a total of $2,900, paying out to the top 8, and Parked Media will be filming. And that's everything about Cataraction.
How good?
How good is your tech skills? How good are we?
Right.
How good are you?
Right. We're like half legit now. This is sick. I reached out to Camille actually and asked him to give me a bit of a rundown, a bit of audio stuff. And then he just said, I'll just get Reese to do it. He'll be better. And worked out great. So I appreciate that audio there from Reese Wiz. And this is what we're going to do now. So we want to hear more from our listeners. We normally do the pod, so anytime before Wednesday night, if you've got anything you want to share to be part of the pod, it's apparently super easy for us now to integrate it. Anything, if you've got a good story from the weekend that you want to tell, if you just want to give someone shit for being crap at something, if you've got a spotlight or not light, if you've got yourself a throller's guarantee or a troller's guarantee, just hit us up. Anything you want to say, just send it to just to myself on Messenger is fine. That's all that was from Reese. And we can get it in. So we want to hear more from the people.
Bring it on. Love that.
Mm. And I'm assuming we actually got no feedback at all from our request about the Throller's Guarantee, but we're just going to go ahead with it anyway, right?
Oh, no. I counted them up. We actually had 74 listeners drop me a message saying, bring it back. Bring it back. So thanks for the feedback, guys.
Big. 74.
Yeah.
Believe that 100%. Well, what do you reckon? You got some Throller's Guarantees?
Yeah. I had Cataraction open, of course, mm-hmm. and I knew that obviously be mentioned, but I'm going to swing past Cataraction.
Ooh.
And go have a look at the probably the bigger event. Kicking off tomorrow. Also a 2-round event. Look, if you just swap meters for feet, we've probably got a pretty similar course length as well. So, Throller's Guarantee. What will you give me for a ace to happen tomorrow?
Oh, that's good. That's a good one. Melton, fairly aceable. Good money up for grabs. Only 29 players, though, so not that likely. Not that many good ones either. That's good. I reckon it's not extremely unlikely, but it's definitely more likely not to happen than happen. So we're in the maybe, I'll have to say 7. I think we're in the 7 range.
I'm taking you on that. I'm taking that. We're getting an ace tomorrow. My Throller's Guarantee is an ace is going down at Melton tomorrow.
Big. I like that. Yeah. All right. I'll have a look. I'll have a look there as well and see what we've got. It is a bit slim pickings-y with only 29 players. So that is a bit of a worry. Maybe I'll just look. I'll do this and I hate doing this. I'll actually look to what I'm going to play. I'm not making it out to Melton, but I will make it out to Llewellyn. And last I checked, the only 2 people in MA1 are myself and Sam Stoyer. And I think I just might do a head-to-head with him. So I get over the top of Sam Stoyer at Llewellyn. on Sunday.
All right. Look, he's got you, he's currently got you covered in the ratings. However, you're obviously had a stellar start to 2025. It's negligible. It's less than a stroke, the separation in the ratings difference. So I'm just going to have to draw this straight down the middle. Sorry, Alan. And I'm going to say that's a 5.
Okay. No, that's fine. If it's a 5, I was going to pick me. And if you're making me the favorite, I was going to pick Sam. So I'll go me. I'll back myself in for 5 there. I like it.
All right. There you go.
Beautiful. Draw with guarantee. So we, same setup. We'll go to 50.
Yeah, yeah. And if we get out of the block, yeah, it did. And if we get out of the block somewhere at 50 before we know it, we can always adjust that.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's go with 50. First person to 50.
Sounds good.
I'm going back to back.
The only other thing is we need probably a punishment for losing more so than a reward for winning. So if any of the listeners can think of a punishment that you think is suitable to the loser, let us know. And we'll probably make it happen.
Yeah, definitely. I immediately go to some sort of piece of apparel must be worn at a PDGA event or something like that.
Yeah.
But our listeners are better than me. Give us something, listeners.
I like that. We'll finish on some spotlight, not light. Do you have much for me?
Yeah, I do. I'll start with spotlights. I went the 2024 calendar year without a single ace, but I have ticked it off the list in January. I was down at Phillip Island. If you think Melton is short, it's because you haven't played Phillip Island. It is a much shorter track than Melton, and I got hole 3 with a sidearm buzz. I only took like 4 discs, and obviously the buzz was one of them, because I'm trying to build it into my bag. She went straight in, and a couple of disc golf witnesses. Now, I didn't catch their names. They were warming up in the field. I assume they're listeners, because anyone that obviously plays disc golf in Victoria listens. So those that were there when I got the ace, reach out to us via socials. Let me know who you were, because you weren't familiar to me, but you knew how to throw a frisbee. So say g'day via our socials. That's my honorable mention, though. My actual spotlight... which way to do this? Who's deserve it? Another honourable mention, Penn Lu. Penn has done a mountain of work getting the track ready for tomorrow. And I've sent out a caddy book, and everything's freshly painted and freshly mown, and he's taken into account lots of things. And tomorrow's event wouldn't happen without him. I've obviously been up in Bright. Honourable mention, Penn. But actual spotlight has to go to... Look, someone who's looking to take the mantle is probably one of the... bigger presence on social media in Australian disc golf. We know Camille probably backs himself in there, but I tell you what, Frosty is in your shadows. He is coming. And if you haven't seen Frosty's reel today, throwing out the entire Zooka cart, well worth a look. It didn't stop me from probably tipping him as part of our tip 6. Frosty puts out some good shit. Well done, Dan Frost, on some funny stuff on socials.
I'll have to check that out. I actually don't have... I have very, very few disc golf stuff on my Instagram, but I might have to add Dan Frost on. I'm glad you mentioned the tipping comp. I forgot about that. We put it out there before, I think. But, we do an Australian Tour Grip 6 style tipping comp. First weekend's in this weekend now, so you'll miss that. But... only, I think, 8 people end up getting points, and we're already at like 16 or something. So definitely not too late to get in for the rest of the season. It's a lot of fun. We do the majors, and every state's second best tournament. So, let us know if you're keen to get in on that. It'd be a bit of fun. My spotlight, I talked about a few fun things that were good that I've liked so far, but... I've done a couple of nice things, so I'm just going to give it to me. Spotlight myself, yes. which I don't really like doing. But I think Penn might have sent you a footage of me forehanding my FD on a beautiful little turnover line up, you know, off the fairway, down the tightest fairway in Mount Xavier, put it to about 5 meters and canned the birdie. Incredible. I've never thrown the FD on a forehand in a tournament ever, and just nailed it like you wouldn't believe. So that's an honorable mention, me there. And then my main spotlight to me is that I have no design skill at all, but I put together, I think, a pretty good logo. Bit of AI help, bit of Canva, and we've got a nice design logo for the Ruffy Rumble. Matt Hill took it from a circle and sort of spread it out and made it a little bit more appealing on the website, which is nice. I appreciate there, Matt Hill. But yeah, I did a couple little things. Put together a website for this tipping comp as well. A few things that I'm just not good at, I did pretty good this week. So I'm just giving me a spotlight.
Nah, fair enough. Absolutely fair enough. Lifting, heavy lifting coming from your corner at the moment.
What about not lights?
Honorable mention. I'm going to honorable mention myself. I've obviously been away from home for a couple of weeks now, and I did not take my laptop charger with me. So, and I, you know, you may have caught at the start of the pod, which I've just seen phone reception coming back on my phone at the moment, which is exciting. Go. You know, I'm just a bit of a bloody shit kicker at times, and no laptop charger meant that I couldn't keep up to date with the TD side of things for tomorrow's event. And I had players messaging me saying, hey, I've paid, why am I not on the PDJ page, blah blah blah. And yeah, I dropped the ball there. So honorable mention, and I dropped the ball on not paying my phone bill. So absolutely honorable mention spot, not light for me. And I've completely blanked on what my actual not light was going to be, so I'm just going to have to wear it. Nice. That was not an honourable mention. That was my not light.
There you go. Well, I've got a few here. The lead card at MA1 at Mount Xavier was wild. They definitely get a strong honourable mention. Hole one. One thing I didn't mention about hole one is there's an OB golf green short left. The reason I didn't mention it is because it doesn't really factor in the hole. You should be going way, way past it and off to the right. But three out of the four of lead card MA1 put it onto that golf green. And the one who missed it well overshot the golf green and was like in a horrendous position. May have been better off landing on the golf green. and they all took bogeys and double bogeys. Crazy. And then I'd mention how Chris Scott just shit the bed from where to go, and how Henry shit the bed super aggressively in the last like 6 or 7 holes. And Penn and Cam, if myself or Benedict Byrne or anyone else on Chase Card just even had a pretty good round, we would have caught them. They shit the bed super hard late as well. It was crazy. Makes me very, very frustrated that I just wasn't a little bit better. So they get an honorable mention for being crap. The Tassie Open, I'm looking at it currently. They've just put the PDGA stuff out. It's on February 14th, and there are 10 registered players. So not light to them for not having their shit together, and a not light to anyone who's not going, including myself. But yep. I think the actual not light, one of the worst things I saw this weekend, has to go to Ryan Doe. Hole 18, Kingston City Classic. it's brutal. Traditional hole 18, which Kingston City Classic, I can't remember what hole that was, but hole 18 at Bald Hill. Took a triple bogey, and it was a burr triple bogey, I'm pretty sure. yeah, man. Rough, like in birdie position, and what's that, five putts.
Yeah, and many.
To take a six. It's disgusting. So he has to get the main not light, I think.
Yeah, that sounds fitting.
Cool. Well, that should wrap us up. Hopefully the audio issues were better this time, and hopefully all the little technology stuff came through. Oh, I forgot to do the spotlight thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, send it on the spotlight button just so we can see it at the end of this pod.
Yeah, true. Silly. I had Let me get the thing up. So who is your spotlight?
Again? My spot. You remind me who was my spotlight. I can't remember.
But my spotlight was Alan Brunsink.
Spotlights. Yeah, there it is. There it is. That, and that came through clear on my end.
Oh, all lovely. Right,
we'll be better on the buttons next week.
Yeah, exactly. We'll have to think of some more buttons. But anyway, all right. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Peace out.